Welcome back to Lake Effect Weekend. I'm Bonnie North.
And I'm Mitch Tyke. The special focus of this year's Milwaukee Irish Fest is the Celtic World Showcase. Bands from Scotland, Ireland, the Isle of Man, Wales, the U.S., and Canada are keeping their Celtic traditions alive while pushing their own musical boundaries.
The Orkney Islands are a part of Scotland, but with a history that includes time as a part of Denmark, they have their own distinct traditions. And in the midst of that tradition are the Wrigley sisters, Jennifer and Hazel, fiddler and guitarist, proprietors of a coffee shop and music store, and the de facto ambassadors to the world from their home island.
They joined us in the studio and started by sharing a set that included a tune inspired by a unique annual sport called Ba that we'll hear about in just a bit. Microphone's over. Jennifer and Hazel Wrigley, the Wrigley sister, thank you so much. That was great.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I have to ask you about this one day game, the one that inspired the second part of that tune you played for us. Just men play this?
Only men, yeah. They did actually have a women's bar once many years ago, but they had to ban it because it was too violent. So it's just the men that play it. They have a men's bar and a boys' bar. So they have both on Christmas Day and then again on New Year's Day.
It's just one day for each of these. Do people practice?
Do they practice?
I think.
Maybe a bit.
Private.
In the living room. The bar can go all sorts of places. It has been known to go through people's houses. They board up all the shop windows and everywhere in the town centre because it really does get quite... it's not violent, but
Physical.
Physical,
yeah.
What does it look like?
The bar just looks like a stuffed leather ball that would be about the size of a rugby ball, maybe, or an American football, something
heavy.
Maybe a little bit smaller than that.
It's quite heavy.
And heavy, yeah.
And so the men are divided into teams, and they have to get it where?
Well, there's the uppies and the doonies, they're called, and basically you have to get the bar from one end of the tune to the other end of the tune, depending on whether you're an uppie or a doonie. And it's all to do whether you were born up the gates or down the gates, and or whether you first came to Orkney on the boat or if you first came to Orkney on the plane. That would determine whether you're an uppie or a doonie.
But we'd tell you what you are if you came.
Yeah, don't worry, we'd tell you which team you're supposed to be supporting.
and the winning team gets bragging rights for the rest of the year?
Yeah, I mean, it's not necessarily the person who has the bar at the actual gate that wins. There's usually a bit of a sort of, should we say, discussion about who's been the most active person in the game and who's most deserving in, say, the uppies or the doonies, as to who would be awarded it. But you can stake a claim to the bar if, say, you jumped in the water, which is one of the gates, if you like. You jump in the water at the basin in Kirkwall. Lots of people would jump in afterwards. And, you know, it's quite common for people to jump in the water frantically when they see the bar going in, just so they can stake a claim. And And quite often people get quite badly injured in the bar, and the front page of the local paper, the Arcadian, they often have a picture of the most badly damaged body. That shows how he's done the best. And
I feel like there might be some alcohol involved in preparing for this game.
It would be unlikely that they've had a lot to drink, because they take it very seriously. And obviously it can be quite dangerous. I mean, sometimes you can get stuck in a pack for maybe a couple of hours.
But of course, you don't hurt yourself if you're drunk.
No, that's true.
And so this whole the game goes on the whole day?
It can go on the whole day. It depends. Sometimes people take a run for it and they get away with the bar and that's the end of it in 30 minutes. And sometimes it can go on the whole day. It depends. It really depends. It varies every year.
You have to come and see it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Is there any thought of making it an Olympic sport?
I'm trying to think which country would be the best at it. Definitely Scotland or Ireland.
That's right.
Well, so, you know, let's talk a little bit about the Orkney. The Orkneys, because we're having this conversation on kind of a gloomy, rainy day in Milwaukee.
Oh, and I thought it was really sunny.
I was kind of picturing this as very Orkney-like.
Yeah. No, Orkney's located right off the north coast of Scotland, and we're a group of about 70 islands. North of us would be the island of Fair Isle, and then north of Fair Isle is the Shetland Islands. We're very closely connected to Scotland. We're only about 10 miles from Scotland, but at the same time we were part of the Principality of Denmark up until 1468, when we were given away as a wedding dowry, and so a lot of the Orkney culture and history is Norse, and we have a famous St Magnus Cathedral, which is right in the middle of Kirkwall, the capital, and a lot of the Norse earls were based, I don't know if you heard of things like the sagas, the Orkney Inga Saga, a lot of that was based in Orkney. And of course, Hakon Hakonsson, who was one of the major kings, who went off in the Viking boats all over the place. He went off to Dublin to try and attack them there with this big fleet. And he came back to Orkney to a place called Scapa Flow, which is a natural harbour right in the centre of the Orkney Islands. It was also the home of the British High Seas Fleet, and it's where the German High Seas Fleet was scuttled at the end of the war. So King Hakon Hakonsson came back to Orkney, and there's a lot of Arcadians who have direct Viking blood. So it's, as well as being very strategically located, nobody in those days, say if they wanted to come across to America, there were a lot of people that came over to Hudson's Bay to work in the fur trade from Orkney. All the boats would come up the coast of Scotland and England, and they would come through the Pentland Firth, which is the piece of water dividing Orkney and Scotland, and they would stop in places like Strumness to get water and to get men, and then they would head off across the Atlantic. So, of course, this is the days when people didn't travel at all by horse and cart. They all went by sea, because going by sea was far easier. So in that respect, some of these islands were far more strategically important than, say, the cities like Edinburgh or Glasgow. They were really the hub of things. We have famous, famous archaeological sites. We have one of the best preserved Stone Age villages in Europe called Scarabray, which is what a lot of people come to see. We also have the Ring of Brodgar, which is the Standing Stones of Stennis. And more recently, they've discovered the Ness of Brodgar, which they've likened to what have they said? It's like almost as important as the pyramids, much older than the pyramids. We're talking 5,500 years old, and very, very important. They think that the stuff that they're finding in the Ness of Brodgar was some of the earliest stuff. They think Orkney was a strategic location for the people of that era. So they found things that have obviously been made or created at the Ness of Brodgar all across Europe. So Orkney was most certainly a hub for that. So if you're into archaeology, it's a place to go.
Well, and obviously a very active music tradition, and the two of you are right in the middle of it, I gather. I mean, besides traveling the world and kind of spreading the music around, you play a key role in kind of keeping it alive in Orkney.
Yeah. In 2004, we decided to open it was a place to teach, mainly. I had 40 or 50 guitar students, accompanists, and Jennifer here, she had 40 or 50 fiddle players, and they weren't getting to meet. So we decided we would take on a lease of quite a large building. It was too large, three stories in the centre of Kirkwall, and it would just be a place where you could put a pound in the jar, have some coffee and maybe play some music, or while you were waiting for your lesson. Well, before you know what, we had a license and we were having sessions in there. And then we had a shop, music shop. And then we had this building was just bursting at the seams. So that was, as I say, in 2004. And it's gone from strength to strength. It's called The Real Coffee House and Bar. You'll have to come and see us if you're in Orkney.
Yeah.
Do you have a specialty when it comes to the coffee or anything else?
We tend to do, because we're quite a small place, I mean, Orkney's got a population of about 20,000 plus, and the main capital, Kirkwall, would have a population of about, is it 9,000, something like that. So we tend to stick to the same one blend of coffee, because otherwise you run the risk of it not being as fresh if you've got lots of different flavours. But we pride ourselves on having really good coffee and fresh coffee, which we think's very important. That's why we tend to stick to just the one blend, but we use the syrups for different flavours, and that seems to work really well for us in such a small place.
I would think a nice hot cup of coffee would be a welcome feeling in the middle of, say, February.
Yeah, especially if you put a drop of whiskey in it. In particular, two really famous whiskies from Orkney. We've got Highland Park, which is a malt whisky, and Scapa, and they're both beautiful malt whiskies. Do you like whisky? Have you tried that?
I have not tried either of those.
You're going to have to try them. They're gorgeous.
I have a whole list of things I have to do when I get there.
Yep. Yeah. No pressure.
And so the Real goes on okay without the two of you there?
Well, hopefully it's still standing when we get back. We've got an amazing team. We've got fantastic staff, and we have managers, and they're brilliant. But when we first started it, we did have to be there nearly all the time. But it's over 10 years now since it started, and we've got the structures now in place to be able to escape for little trips to Milwaukee and such like.
are there rivalries between the islands? I mean, sports rivalries or music rivalries or things like that?
Well, I mean, we have things like the Parish Cup, which is where all the different parishes and islands around Orkney would compete in football and such like, and that's traditional. They've done that for years. I suppose there's also the games that we play between Shetland and Orkney. We call that the inter-county games, and there's football and netball and swimming and badminton and such like. I mean, they're both Orkney and Shetland are very sporty places. We have some really good facilities. We've got a brilliant sports facility in Orkney called the Picky Centre, and you can do anything. You do badminton, squash, swimming,
trampolining,
climbing, whatever you want. We're really lucky. Apparently Orkney's one of the best places in the UK to live, with the highest standard of living, and it keeps getting this accolade. So are we selling it to you?
Well, you are terrific ambassadors for Orkney, and you really have kind of whet my appetite for wanting to go. I wish there were more direct flights from Milwaukee.
Yeah, we could just swim. That's pretty direct.
Or if we got enough people together, we could probably charter a plane.
Yeah, I was going to say a boat. 60 or 70. Far more fun with a boat, don't you think?
Maybe.
There's quite a few boats in the river there in the city centre. Yeah. We just go and nick one of them and set off. They look like they're quite luxurious ones.
to go across the Atlantic.
I think they're luxurious. I'm not sure they're that luxurious. I think after about a week, it would be significantly less luxurious
feeling. How many people could we fit on one of those? How many people live in Milwaukee?
500,000? Well, in the metro area, it's about 1.5 million.
Yeah, we need a pretty big boat.
I think it'd be easier to bring Orkney here. Why don't we give them a ring?
I often think we have a lot of windmills and such like in Orkney, and there's a joke that, you know, it's going to just sort of take off one day.
The first helicopter island.
That's right, yeah. Just got to wait for the right direction of wind and we'll come over and visit.
Or the right Texan.
Well, I feel like we should hear another song, but before that point, let me say to both of you, thank you so much. It was a delight to meet you, and enjoy your time here.
Thank you very much.
Thanks
for having us. So we'll play you a little tune that I wrote for the leader of the Orkney Strathbane Reel. The Strathbane Reel Society is a group of fiddle players and accordionists that meet every Thursday night in Kirkwall. They've been meeting since 1948, so they're one of the most established sort of traditional music groups in Orkney. And that's where we pretty much learnt to play, and it's where we met all the old men that played the fiddle in the traditional style. And they're just really all our pals. And the leader of the Strathbane Reel, the current leader, a man called Ian Curtness, asked if we would write a tune for his mum and dad, who were celebrating their golden wedding anniversary, 50 years. And so we wrote them a little tune, and it was just sad. Just after the anniversary, they did get to hear the tune and everything, but the lady, Emily, her name was, his mum, she sadly passed away. So they just got to 50 years. But we thought we'd play that tune, and it's called, it's for anybody who's been married for 50 years or even just 2 years, which is pretty impressive nowadays. And it's called James and Emily Cutness.
Jennifer and Hazel Wrigley are from the Orkney Islands in Scotland, and they play Irish Fest this weekend. There's a link to more information, and you can see video footage of that unique game called Ba they talked about at WUWM.com. Plus, you can hear the complete versions of the music they played for us there as well.